Have you ever had a reoccurring dream? You know, one of those dreams that you have over and over again. It can be a good dream. It can be a positive one that brings you comfort and peace. Or it could be a dream that disturbs you. We call those nightmares. There was a minister that I used to listen to that told a story about a dream, this reoccurring dream that he had over and over again. But for him, it wasn't one of those good dreams. It was a nightmare. And I want to tell that story this morning. And from this point forward in the story, we'll just call this minister, we'll just call him the man. Every dream would begin with the man lying on the floor of this empty room. And the man would come to himself, and he would look around confused, not knowing where he was. But he observed he was in sort of this empty shed. He didn't know how he got there, but he sort of had this strange, unnerving feeling like he had been there before. And immediately, he would feel this feeling of discontentment, and he would have this desire to get out of the room, as any of us naturally would. And so he would go to the door and he would try to open it. But to his dissatisfaction, the door was locked. And so he would try harder, and he would begin to grip the door and to twist and to turn it and to try to jam it open, but it wasn't any use. He would begin to pound on the door over and over again in order to try to pound through and to bust through the door and to be set free. But it was of no use. And so he would then regroup at this point in the dream. And he looked around the shed to try to problem solve. And he looked behind him, and he noticed there was this wall of keys. And he had this momentary feeling of relief as he realized, as he sees this wall of keys behind him, hanging on the back wall, that one of these keys surely had to open this door. And now, of course, he didn't know which was the right key to open the door. And so he went to the back of the room, he grabbed the first key he saw, and he came up to the door, and he began trying to put the key into the hole in order to open the door. And as he sat there and he was struggling with it, he couldn't quite get the key in the door, and so he assumed, I must have the wrong key. And so he went back to the wall, grabbed the next key, and the same thing. He kind of shifted and twisted and turned, trying to get that key into the door. And then finally, he looked down at the key and realized that this key wasn't going to open the door, that this key wasn't for this door, because this was a blank key. And he kind of hurriedly runs back to the back wall and looks, and he goes through the keys, and he realized every one of these keys was blank. Now, of course, a key has grooves that are specifically designed for a specific door in order to fit into the hole, and then, of course, the grooves give it power to open the door. But these keys were blank. They didn't have any grooves. And without grooves, they didn't have any power to open the door. But the man was not content to just let this be. He began to jam these blank keys into the door and to do everything he could to try to make that key fit. He began to try to slam the key in there, but it wouldn't work. And he found himself frustrated, found himself trapped, found himself struggling to figure out what he needed to do next. And again, he looks around the room. And he sees something he didn't notice before. He sees a hammer laying over in the corner of the room. It was strange because he didn't remember seeing it before. But it was almost as if someone wanted him to have it. And so he took the hammer. And he takes one of those blank keys. He goes up to the door. He begins to slam and to bang and to try to jam that key to make it fit into the door. This key wasn't designed for this door. But he thinks if he hits hard enough and slams hard enough, the key will fit. And eventually, in all of his slamming and banging, the key breaks off halfway into the door, and the doorknob is left beaten and dented and broken. Yet the door still won't open and the man's trapped. And it's at this point in every dream that he has like this that he wakes up. But as we step away from this story for just a moment, we realize that this isn't just one man's nightmare, but this is a reality that so many of us live into. In fact, I would venture to say that all of us have lived into at one point or another. And I've been there myself, where we find ourselves in this sort of empty life, where we feel trapped in this daily routine, this daily grind, in which we feel like we're living without a purpose. And we go day to day, day after day, living into this routine where we get up, we get ready for work, we go to work, we come home, we make dinner, we go to bed, and then we do the same thing over and over again. And for some of us, if not all of us, in those routines, we can feel trapped. We feel like we're meant for something more, that life must have some better meaning. And so we look for the meaning. We feel trapped, like we're in this empty shed in the routines that we have and in the things we get caught up in life. And we know there's something that we're meant for more. And so we try to force our way to try to figure out meaning. And we have our own sort of blank keys. These things in life that we use, these different ways that we use to try to open the door to greater meaning, to greater purpose, greater satisfaction, and greater joy. But they end up just being blank keys. We have blank keys of greed, blank keys of losing ourselves into our work, blank keys of pornography and of sex. We have blank keys of things that we try to use to bring meaning. We misuse alcohol, we misuse drugs, we misuse money in ways in which that we're just trying to find meaning in life. But at the end of the day, those things end up just being blank keys. They don't have any grooves, and thus they don't have any power to bring us the meaning and the purpose that we're looking for. But if you're like me, you don't take no for an answer. Is even though you know that the blank key, whatever it is that you use, even though you know it doesn't have any power to open the door, you try to make it fit anyways. And you take it and you continue to fall into those cycles of these blank keys, and you continue to try to slam them in the door and to commit to them harder and harder until eventually things end up just breaking. And we're often, as we get caught in these cycles, we're left in a place where we continue to struggle to find meaning. We've exhausted ourselves in that search. And in the end, we just end up breaking things. No holes are filled. No doors are open. And we're still trapped. So let's go back to the man, once again. As we look at his story, he had the dream again like he had had so many times before. And the dream at this point just was exhausting him, as every time he was living through the same cycle of this dream. And he would make all of his attempts to get out, and there was no success. Until one time he had the dream once again, and he tried something different. This time he didn't go back to the wall and grab any of the blank keys. He didn't try to forcefully open the door. He didn't take the hammer trying to smash his way through to get his way. But he did something different, because he was caught with this feeling that he would not be placed in this room with a door, with an indication there's something on the other side of the door, something bigger and something that he was called to. Right? He didn't think he was placed here for nothing, that he was placed here for a purpose, that door was meant to be open. But he's realized he didn't have the power, he didn't have the strength, he didn't have the ability to open the door. And so he did something he had never thought about doing before. Rather than jamming in blank keys, hammering away at the doorknob, banging on the door, he decided just to knock. And so he goes to the door, falls on his knees, and in tears he screams out, cries for help, and he knocks. And then the door was open, and the nightmare was over. But the story isn't over. Because for you and I, it's not just a dream, it's not just a nightmare, it's a reality. As we seek to seek freedom in our life from the various things that we feel tied to and enslaved to, things that take hold of our life, purposes that take control of our life, and as we feel like we're in this room living without a bigger purpose, and as we strive to, as we've said, use those various blank keys to find the answers we're looking for and to provide the freedom we're searching for, we realize they don't have the ability to accomplish what we want to accomplish. And as we look at that, and we realize that, is that even though at times we may feel hopeless and alone in an empty room, there's also sort of this ache in our heart, this sort of feeling that we have, knowing that we cannot be faced with this challenge called life that has this indication of something bigger if we weren't meant to open the door and to live into that. Is every indication we see in the world and the universe around us gives us an indication that there's some kind of design here, that there's something bigger than just humanity at work. And whether we believe or not, there's something in our heart that just presses us into this idea that we're to live into a bigger purpose than ourselves as we're face to face with this door called life. And so we know we're supposed to open it, but we don't have the ability to do so. And if you've ever felt that way, you're not alone. Because I've been there myself, where at various times in my life, I have lived into the cycle of sin, guilt, and shame. I have lived in cycles of even success and then pride. And then, of course, after pride comes the fall. I have lived in cycles of burnout and lack of purpose. And when I look at each of those moments in my life and all these scenarios, I realize I just felt lost and I felt trapped. And no matter how much I was trying to make those keys fit into the door to break those cycles, my effort was in vain, and I was unable to accomplish what I was wanting to do and what I was looking for. And I was looking for something more and just trying to open this door with the blank keys. And we all try to break the cycle, to live into something bigger than ourselves, and we try to accomplish that in all these various ways. But at the end, our ways fall short. Every attempt we make to take control and to live into a bigger purpose by our own ways ends up not accomplishing what we hoped it would accomplish. And so we try all sorts of ways with all of our strength, but it's not a problem of effort. It's a problem of the heart. It's something internal. There's a prophet in the Old Testament whose name is Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a prophet in a time in Israel's history, the people of God in the Old Testament, their history, in which they were caught in one of these cycles. They were living out this nightmare where they struggled to find meaning and purpose as they were enslaved by the nations around them. And they, just like we do, they tried all of these different blank keys to be the solution to their problems, to create meaning, to give them redemption, to give them freedom. But at the end, it didn't work. And this is what Jeremiah said. He said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Right? Our heart deceives us. Our heart gives itself to these blank keys, thinking, this is the solution. This is what's going to bring meaning to my life. But at the end, we just end up breaking things, hurting ourselves, hurting those around us, and creating a mess. And then we don't end up accomplishing what we set out to accomplish. We don't find what we were searching for. But the reality is, and the reason we find ourselves in these situations where we give ourselves to our deceitful heart, we go after our own ways, and it doesn't accomplish what we're looking for. It doesn't set us free. And it leaves us wondering, weren't we created for more than this? And we were. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, "So God created mankind, humanity, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." You see, you were created in the image of God for relationship with God. That you were created for relationship and partnership with God. To be a part of what he is striving to accomplish in the world. And from the very beginning of all human history, what God has been accomplishing and working towards is working towards this dream, this reality of relationship between God and humanity, of perfect harmony between God and humanity, between God and you and God and me. And all of human history is moving towards that reality. In fact, in Revelation, we have sort of this vision of what one day will be perfected as God redeems his good world, sets all things right, and lives in harmony with his creation. The vision in Revelation 21, verse 3 says that God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. That the ultimate purpose in life is to be in harmony with God, and that God is moving that forward, moving his unity project forward as he brings us back in fellowship and relationship with him. And this mission of God to bring us back to live into our purpose and being in eternal relationship with him, the mission of God to accomplish that climaxed when Jesus of Nazareth, who was God in the flesh, went to the cross on our behalf, paid the price for our sins, and died. And in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And in John 17, we're told that eternal life is to know God, and to know him eternally. And so Jesus saved us in his death, creates an opportunity to redeem us through his death. But what we also see is that Jesus saves us through his life. And through his life and his teachings, he's modeled to us what eternal life looks like. He's modeled to us what a peaceful relationship with God looks like. He showed us how to truly be human and how to truly relate to God. And Jesus would say it like this, as he boldly claimed in John 14 and verse 6. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." See, the way of Jesus is truth. The way of Jesus is what we've been looking for all along. To be in right relationship with God. To follow his teachings and to learn how to relate to God. And Jesus says, "And if you follow me, if you come after me," in John 8 and verse 32, he says, "you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." See, Jesus created us for so much more than just a dead-end routine, living for ourselves, living to gather resources for ourselves, living to accomplish our own purposes. He created us to be in relationship with God. And that's not just something we have to look forward to in eternity, but it's something that Jesus came to accomplish now, here on earth, in this life. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, he said, "I came so that they," those who follow him, those who commit themselves to his teachings, "that they might have life, a great full life." Or as other translations say, an abundant life, a life overflowing with blessings and with peace. And as we look about how we go about that, we realize that we struggle at times is that we end up giving ourselves over to sin, yet we can never erase this part of ourselves created in the image of God that longs for God. And it's for this very purpose that Jesus came. And despite all of our attempts to muscle this thing out ourselves and to pave our own way and our own path on our own journey, right, ultimately, God is still working on our behalf, even behind the scenes. Even when we're not working for relationship to him, he's working for a relationship with us. And so like the man in the dream, what we need to do is come to a realization that ultimately the path to satisfaction, the path to joy, the path to purpose, the path to eternal life, as it says so often in the New Testament, is not through any of our own means. It's not through mapping out our own journey. But it's through living out the path by following Jesus and giving ourselves over to him. And so many times when I have found myself in those reoccurring nightmares, living into those old cycles of blank keys and those old reoccurring patterns of my life, I've learned to do something, like the man, which goes against every instinct in my heart. And that's to fall on my knees, to knock, and to call out to God for help. And when we do that, things change and doors open. In Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you." Jesus, when we knock, we cry out for help. We ask God to be in our lives. Jesus answers the door and invites us to a life that is, yes, challenging. All challenges and worries don't go away, but is filled with joy, peace, relationship, fulfillment, and purpose. And also, I should say this, as I'm presenting the gospel this morning, is that this is not a one-time thing. There's a point in which we all need to bow our knees to King Jesus, confess him as Lord, and we repent and we let go of the blank keys, and then we are baptized into the way of Jesus, right? There's a point in which we do that. As we knock on the door, Jesus answers and saves us. But at the same time, for those of us who have been following Jesus for quite a while, we all realize that there's certain points in our walk with Jesus where we're tempted to go back to those old patterns of living. We go back to those old beloved blank keys, and we try to make them fit once again. But it's in those moments we need to realize that we constantly must be willing to go back to the feet of Jesus, surrender our will, and give ourselves over to him. So let me ask you this morning, are you ready for the door to be open, to be set free? Are you ready for life, real life, the life that God intended you to live, the life that you were intended to live with the God you're intended to be an eternal relationship with? Let go of the blank keys. Set them down. Stop trying to make them do something they were never designed to do. And stop trying to open a door you were never meant to open. And try knocking instead. If you're here this morning, maybe you don't know Jesus, you're not a follower of Jesus, but you've come here, and maybe you've been in sort of that empty routine, and you want out. Here in just a moment, we have this part of our service design where if you want to do that publicly, you can do that this morning. You can put on Jesus and baptism and confessing him as Lord, setting aside the blank keys and deciding to live a different and new way that truly leads to joy, satisfaction, and purpose. Or maybe you're here and you already are a disciple of Jesus and you want to renew that this morning. You've been going back to old cycles of going to those old blank keys and you want to renew your relationship with Jesus this morning. Knock on the door and it will be open to you. Please come and you can meet me in the front as we stand and as we sing.